Welcome, dear listeners, to another episode of Philosophy Crossroads. Today, we embark on a fascinating exploration of moral realism, a perspective in meta-ethics that invites us to consider the possibility that there are objective moral facts, truths about right and wrong that exist independently of what any of us think, feel, or believe. It's a view that, if true, has profound implications for how we understand the world and our place within it. Let's begin by grappling with a foundational idea introduced by G.E. Moore, a key figure in the development of modern ethical theory. In his seminal work, Principia Ethica, Moore presents a compelling argument known as the open question argument. Imagine someone claims that good simply means pleasurable. Moore invites us to consider whether it makes sense to ask, is pleasure actually good? If good merely equated to pleasurable, this question would be nonsensical, akin to asking, is pleasure pleasurable? Yet, it seems perfectly reasonable to question the goodness of pleasure, suggesting that good denotes something more than any natural property, like pleasure. Moore's argument challenges us to think about the nature of moral properties. He posits that these properties are non-natural. They can be reduced to or defined by natural properties such as pleasure, desire, or utility. This leads Moore to champion a form of moral realism that he calls non-naturalism. According to Moore, moral facts are a part of the fabric of the universe, much like mathematical truths. They are discovered, not invented, and remain true regardless of human opinion or belief. Building on this foundation, let's consider the contemporary defense of moral realism offered by philosopher Russ Schaefer-Landau. In his work, Moral Realism, A Defense, Schaefer-Landau argues that moral truths are objective and not contingent upon human beliefs or feelings, much like truths in mathematics and logic. For instance, just as the statement 2 plus 2 equals 4 holds true universally, independent of human thought, Schaefer-Landau suggests that moral statements, such as torture is wrong, can also be universally true. Schaefer-Landau specifically addresses common concerns about moral realism. One might wonder how, if moral facts are objective, people can have such vastly different moral beliefs. To this, Schaefer-Landau suggests that disagreement does not necessarily negate the existence of objective truths. People can be mistaken or misinformed about moral facts, just as they can be about scientific facts. By positing that moral truths exist independently of our grasp of them, moral realism asks us to consider the possibility of moral knowledge, knowledge of what is truly right or wrong, just or unjust, which exists in a realm beyond personal or cultural perspectives. This view doesn't imply that discovering these truths is easy or that consensus is always possible, but it does assert that there is a moral reality out there, waiting to be understood. As we ponder these ideas, it's important to recognize the stakes involved in this philosophical debate. If moral realism is true, then our discussions about ethics aren't just about hashing out opinions or preferences. They're about uncovering truths that guide our actions in profound and meaningful ways. But how do we access these truths? And what tools do we have at our disposal to discern what is truly right or wrong? These are the questions that not only challenge us philosophically, but also invite us to engage more deeply with the moral complexities of our lives. In this exploration, we are not just learning about abstract theories, we are considering their impact on every ethical decision we face. Whether we're debating laws, shaping societal norms, or making personal choices, the question of whether there are objective moral facts influences not only the content of our arguments, but the confidence with which we hold our convictions. Let's carry this thought forward as we delve deeper into the arguments that both support and challenge moral realism, enriching our understanding of what it means to speak of morality in terms of truth. As we delve further into moral realism, it's crucial to examine the arguments that fortify this position, particularly the intuitive appeal of certain moral truths that seem self-evident. Think of intuitionism, which plays a significant role in supporting moral realism by suggesting that some moral truths are known through a direct intuitive sense. This perspective aligns with our everyday experiences where certain actions, like torturing animals for fun or pushing someone into harm's way for amusement, strike us as inherently wrong. without needing extensive deliberation or empirical evidence to justify our judgments. The intuitive knowledge of these wrongs, according to intuitionists, points to the existence of objective moral facts. It's as though we have a moral sense, akin to our sensory perceptions, that allows us to perceive and recognize moral truths directly. This form of knowing isn't about analyzing or deducing. It's immediate and compelling, often experienced as a gut feeling about the rightness or wrongness of a situation. However, critics of intuitionism argue about the reliability of this moral sense, pointing out that what seems intuitively moral to one person might not to another, raising questions about the universality of these intuitive moral truths. Moving from intuition to the broader stage of societal interaction, the argument from moral disagreement offers another robust support for moral realism. The persistence of serious and considered moral disagreements across cultures and individuals might suggest that we are often attempting to describe an objective moral reality, albeit from different perspectives. If morality were entirely subjective or relative to individual or cultural beliefs, one might expect these disagreements to dissolve under relativistic views where anything goes. Yet they persist, and often with a vigor that implies an underlying reality that different parties are trying to grasp. Consider the history of moral progress as another pillar supporting moral realism. This argument posits that the very concept of moral progress, improvements in our moral thinking and practices over time, presupposes some objective standards against which such progress is measured. For instance, consider the global shifts in attitudes towards slavery, women's rights, and animal welfare over centuries. These aren't just changes in social preferences, but are often seen as moral improvements, suggesting a movement towards better, more just practices based on objective moral truths. Each of these arguments for moral realism, from intuitionism and moral disagreement to moral progress, suggests that our moral discourse is anchored in more than subjective opinions or cultural norms. They propose that at the heart of our ethical discussions and dilemmas, there are truths to be discovered, truths that require us to look beyond personal preferences and social constructions. This exploration invites us to consider the depth and implications of moral realism seriously. If there are indeed objective moral truths, understanding them and aligning our actions with them becomes a crucial endeavor, not just for philosophical completeness, but for the ethical integrity of our personal lives and societies. As we engage with these ideas, it's vital to keep probing, questioning, and refining our understanding, recognizing the responsibility that comes with asserting the existence of moral facts. This journey through moral realism not only challenges us to think rigorously, but also to reflect on how we live out these truths in our daily decisions and interactions. Shifting our focus to the counterpoint of moral realism, we encounter anti-realism, a perspective that challenges the existence of objective moral facts. Anti-realism holds that moral values do not exist independently of human beliefs, emotions, or social constructions. This viewpoint encourages us to consider morality as a human creation, subject to the influences of culture, history, and personal circumstances. A compelling voice in this debate is Bernard Williams, who argues that our ethical concepts are inextricably linked to our particular historical and cultural context. In his influential work, Ethics and the Limits of Philosophy, Williams suggests that ethical knowledge is deeply contingent upon the practices and understandings of particular times and places. This argument challenges the notion of objective moral truths by highlighting the variability and cultural specificity of moral systems. For example, consider how the concept of honor drastically varies between cultures, or how notions of right and wrong have evolved even within the same society over time. Williams would point out that these variations suggest that moral values are not universal truths, but reflections of particular social arrangements and historical moments. Further enriching the anti-realist landscape are the philosophical positions of emotivism and expressivism. Emotivism, famously championed by A.J. Ayer, posits that moral statements are expressions of emotional reactions rather than assertions of fact. When someone says stealing is wrong, according to emotivism, they are not stating a truth about the act of stealing, but simply expressing their disapproval of it. Similarly, expressivism, as argued by Simon Blackburn, claims that moral claims function to express attitudes and perhaps to influence the attitudes and actions of others, rather than to describe some objective moral reality. These perspectives invite us to reconsider the nature of moral discourse. Rather than a debate over facts, anti-realism frames moral discussion as a complex interplay of emotional expressions, persuasive attempts, and cultural narratives. This viewpoint can be particularly illuminating in understanding why moral debates often seem so intractable. If moral statements are expressions of attitudes rather than factual claims, this might explain why people holding different values can talk past each other, each expressing and reinforcing their distinct emotional landscapes and normative frameworks. Anti-realism thus challenges us to reflect on the foundations of our moral judgments and the purposes our ethical languages serve. It pushes the inquiry into how moral values are constructed and the roles they play in shaping human relationships and societal structures. By denying the existence of objective moral facts, anti-realism doesn't leave us in a moral vacuum. Rather, it redirects our attention to the ways in which morals are negotiated, evolved, and employed within human communities. As we contemplate these anti-realist arguments, we're encouraged to think critically about the implications for our understanding of morality. How do we negotiate ethical disagreements in a world where moral truths are not given but created? How do we advocate for ethical improvements or reforms without appealing to objective standards? These questions don't just challenge our philosophical theories, but confront us with practical dilemmas about how to live together in a world rich with moral diversity and conflict. Delving deeper into the realm of anti-realism, we explore some of its more radical arguments, such as cultural relativism and error theory, each offering a unique perspective on the nature of moral values and their implications for understanding ethical behavior and belief. Cultural relativism, a form of moral anti-realism, posits that moral truths are not universal but rather are relative to different cultures. This viewpoint suggests that what is considered moral in one society might be seen as immoral in another, and there are no absolute standards by which we can judge these differences. For instance, practices like arranged marriages or dietary restrictions vary significantly across cultures, each justified by its own moral framework that may seem incomprehensible or wrong from an outsider's perspective. Cultural relativism challenges us to reconsider our assumptions about the universality of moral judgments, urging a respect for cultural diversity that can be both enlightening and morally challenging. Error theory, developed by J.L. Mackey in his work Ethics, Inventing Right and Wrong, takes a more radical stance by arguing that all moral statements are false, because there are no moral facts to be true or false. Mackey refers to this concept as the argument from queerness, suggesting that if objective moral values existed, they would be entities or properties of a very strange sort, utterly different from anything else in the universe. This queerness makes the existence of such values highly unlikely, and as a result, our moral discourse is systematically mistaken. For example, when people say charity is good, they believe they are stating a fact, but according to error theory, they are asserting a claim that fails to correspond to any real, objective entity. These anti-realist perspectives, particularly cultural relativism and error theory, complicate how we think about moral consensus and progress. If moral truths are culturally relative, the notion of moral improvement becomes a matter of shifting societal norms rather than objective betterment. Similarly, if all moral claims are false, as error theory suggests, then the very basis of our ethical discussions, our claims about what is right or wrong, falls into a kind of existential crisis. Yet, even within these challenging views, there is a space for ethical engagement and dialogue. Anti-realism doesn't necessarily lead to nihilism or moral paralysis. Instead, it invites us to construct and negotiate our values more consciously, recognizing the roles they play in shaping human coexistence and personal identity. This recognition can lead to a more pragmatic approach to ethics, where the focus shifts from discovering absolute moral truths to fostering social practices that promote harmony, understanding, and cooperation among diverse groups. By exploring cultural relativism and error theory, we're prompted to reflect on the robustness of our moral convictions and the flexibility of our ethical understandings. These reflections are crucial not just for philosophical completeness, but for navigating the complexities of a globalized world where diverse moral systems interact and sometimes clash. As we consider these ideas, let's remain open to the transformative potential of understanding morality, not as a set of immutable truths, but as a dynamic field of human creation and interaction, continuously evolving as we learn more about ourselves and others in an interconnected world. As we wrap up our exploration of anti-realism and its implications, it's crucial to address a fundamental question that emerges from the anti-realist perspective. How do we negotiate ethical disagreements in a world where moral truths are seen as constructs rather than objective realities? This question brings us into the realm of practical implications, exploring how anti-realism influences not just philosophical debate but real-world ethical practices and decision-making. The absence of objective moral truths as proposed by anti-realists invites a more dialogic and consensual approach to ethics. If moral values are constructs based on individual and cultural beliefs, then ethical living requires negotiation, dialogue, and compromise. In this framework, ethical discourse becomes less about proving an objective moral point and more about understanding different perspectives and finding common ground. For instance, when facing ethical dilemmas in multicultural settings, the emphasis shifts to empathy, respect for diverse moral views, and the creation of shared values that accommodate differences. This approach resonates in areas such as international human rights, where universal principles must often be balanced with cultural specificity. The challenge lies in crafting a set of rights that respects cultural diversity while also promoting a core set of ethical standards that transcends individual societies. Here, the anti-realist perspective can offer valuable insights into the flexible, context-sensitive nature of moral negotiation, suggesting that what is considered a right or ethical in one context might be adapted to fit another, without claiming a universal ethical mandate. Moreover, the notion that moral statements are expressions of attitudes or attempts to influence social behavior, as suggested by expressivism, highlights the persuasive element of moral discourse. Rather than stating truths, ethical discussions become about influencing others' attitudes and actions through moral reasoning and appeal. This perspective can be empowering, as it suggests that change in moral attitudes is possible through effective communication, education, and social interaction, rather than requiring individuals to recognize and conform to supposed moral facts. Finally, understanding the implications of anti-realism challenges us to confront the potential limits of ethical discourse. If there are no objective moral truths, does this undermine the authority of moral claims? Can we still talk meaningfully about moral improvement or ethical progress? Anti-realism requires us to rethink these concepts in non-absolute terms, focusing on pragmatic outcomes such as increased well-being, reduced conflict, and enhanced mutual understanding as markers of ethical advancement. In summary, while anti-realism challenges the traditional views of morality grounded in objective truths, it also opens up a landscape rich with opportunities for ethical innovation and intercultural dialogue. It encourages us to think creatively about how we can construct ethical systems that are both respectful of diverse perspectives and effective in promoting collective well-being. As we conclude this exploration, let's carry forward the understanding that morality, whether viewed as objective or constructed, plays a critical role in shaping human societies and the choices we make. By engaging thoughtfully with these philosophical insights, we can better navigate the complexities of moral life in a diverse and interconnected world.